Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros.
Call!
The call number is 646-595-3440. Kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm one of your hosts on the With Insights Radio anchor show. Iggy Garcia here.
And I'm the other one, David Tucros, coming in by phone today. So it is good to be here on the radio. And
it is good to be here.
I'm unpacking. Yeah, it is great to be here. I'm unpacking a little bit of stuff, so if you hear some rustling around, it's all innocent, so.
Cool.
Wow.
Powerful.
Very powerful. We just had a storm come along in our fair city. You know, I was thinking back to when we did the water ceremony last weekend, and like you pointed out, it's been raining nearly every day ever since in some way or another. Water has just been abundant.
That's awesome. That's what we do, man.
That's what we do, you know. Sometimes we don't know our own strength.
We bring the love and we share it.
Absolutely. And wow, so, you know, things have been pretty good lately. We just have been going to different places and meeting new people and kind of spreading our particular form of drumming and just sharing who we are with people, and they're sharing who they are with us. And fantastic connections are getting made, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have Cindy Riggs on later on at 6:30. She's a psychic. She's a universal channel, spiritual mentor. She's an author and she's a speaker. So I'm looking forward to that interview later on tonight. So I'm pretty excited.
And if you're listening in and you have access to the internet, go out and look her up and get on her website. And you might have some interesting questions to ask in the chat room, or if you want to call in later if we're going to do that. But she's going to be a very, very interesting guest for us.
Yeah, she's going to talk about particles of space-time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. So
yeah.
She's not going to do readings, so we need to let the people know that, because I already spoke with her earlier. But, yeah, that's the topic she wants to go down. And you know what? We'll see where the universe takes us, like they say, right?
That's great. Yeah. We play it by ear, you know? We kind of let the universe let ourselves be led by spirit and where we want to go. So I'm looking forward to it. And, well, we usually start out by talking about our weekend, and boy, what a weekend it just was, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. You know, we started out on Friday night with our Friday night drum friends down there in Chillicothe. Every other week they host a drumming session down there. So we usually road trip down there together and meet up with them at Dart Hunter Studios down there, and they're trying to establish their own community of drumming and like spiritually like-minded folks down there, and they're having some success, you know, and it's good to see those things get planted and grow, and like I was talking about earlier, the connections you get made is just amazing. So we've gained some new friends and some new experiences from it all, and, you know, we're a welcome guest down there, and I really appreciate that. Our opportunities to go down there. And, you know, we have so much fun on road trips together, too.
Absolutely.
Over the craziest stuff, you know.
Tell me about it.
If any of you are familiar with us on Facebook, you know, you'll know that's true, because you see our little videos and things we post. And this last weekend, Saturday, we went to a place called the Magic Garden down there in Unity, Ohio. And it's private residence, and it's kind of an invitation-only kind of an event, but I've been going there for, like, probably 3 years now, twice a year, and it just gets better and better each time. And we went down this time with a couple of new people. We took Adriana and Mary down there, and they really enjoyed it. I knew they would. You know, they might have had a little bit of trepidation at first about, you know, going to a new place and everything, but once you get there, it just is so open and relaxed, and just kind of ease into it. For instance, when you were down there by the pond, I could just tell you it's letting go of all the tension and all the things that were on your mind, and
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Yeah, you know, and you wander through there, and they've got rock sculptures and, you know, just all kinds of things to look at. And then, of course, around 7 o'clock, the fire gets lit, and we just start drumming. And there's a great combination of people and talents and abilities in there and instruments, you know, more than just drums. And when it gets dark, the fire spinners come out, and I was watching the video today with one of my friends that said, it's like I'm in the circus, you know, or it's like being in the circus when you go out to someplace like that, because there's all these things going on, and you're a part of it, and I love it. You know, I love that kind of atmosphere where, you know, we just are free to be ourselves and open and share with one another, and so many great things happen in that space. So we
yes,
had a
does.
Great time. Anything what were your thoughts and impressions?
Well, you know, just like you said, you know, we began the weekend off on Friday. We went drumming with our friends, you know, like you said, in Chillicothe. And I tell you, that's just so much fun to be in a community where everybody's just coming down there for a common purpose, a common goal, you know, a common, you know, ritual, a common ceremony. And we just totally just rock it out and we just play all our beats and our heartbeats. You know, if anybody knows how we drum and how we do it, you know, there's really not necessarily a structure to it. We actually follow spirit. We're very spirit-led in the work we do, especially in the drumming category and what we do. We just open ourselves up to higher beings to come in and channel with us and drum with us. You know, we do all the cleansing and saging and all that stuff to make sure we have a sacred space. So that doesn't change. But I tell you, man, once that thing starts rolling, it's like a train. And, you know, the only way you can get it to stop is wait till you get to the next station, because that's the only way it's going to happen.
That's right.
And I tell you, just carried right into Saturday, you know, and Saturday was the same thing. And the Magic Garden is a beautiful place. And here you have a whole myriad of types of drummers and types of techniques and types of spirits and souls. So you bring our little crazy group there. I like to call it crazy because that's what I am. And I just have fun.
I second that.
Yeah, I have fun with it, you know. And so we're drumming along, and, you know, we're in a little bit of a little competition with the African drum corps there. But, you know, eventually, you know, we just all merged together and became one big heartbeat. You know, that's part of it. That's part of being the human experience, that just flowing together and figuring it out. It was just an amazing time. Totally amazing. Blew me away.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree with you 100%. But, you know, it's when you talk about, you know, our drumming style and everything, it's almost like, and I've thought this before, and I've probably even said it before, it's like we read each other's mind. You know, we form one beat that is made up by different people, but it becomes a connection for all of us, you know, and it just amazes me. You know, people on the surface of it might just see us drumming, but there's some deep, deep connection, some deep healing, some deep fellowship and communion going on there between all of us and between spirits of, you know, the ancestors that may join us, or like you were talking about, other beings that may be attracted to our vibration that we're creating, and magical, just truly magical. So, you know, if you are friends with us on Facebook, go to our Facebook pages. There's pictures, there's video, there's just a lot of souvenirs, so to speak, of our time this weekend. And you know, today I was at work. I was like, I'm really only half here, you know. I had to get settled back into real life, you know, because it carries over. And, you know, you hear the beats of the drums in your head for a while, and yeah, it takes a minute to adjust back to this artificial reality that we live in here. So it was great. And our adventures are just going to keep continuing this summer, too. There's all kinds of things to look forward to. And, you know, I think this is going to be one of the best years ever for us getting ourselves out there and being who we are, and also just our own personal growth and tasks progressing, too. So I'm really excited about all the things coming up and where we've been and where we're going. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a shaman walk this weekend. You know that? Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah,
we have a shaman walk
on
the 13th. You know, we're going to be at Cantwell Cliffs in Hocking Hills area. We're going to be doing a class there teaching shamanistic principles about, you know, the higher and lowers and the different levels of shamanism. So if you can join us there, folks, I mean, we won't kick off till by 11 or so. And then eventually we will roll back to Columbus, and then we will roll the drum circle right back into Garcia's and hit that at 9 o'clock, jam it up. So
yeah.
It doesn't end. It just keeps going. Pretty excited.
That's right.
But I want to share something with you.
Okay.
I want to share something with you. That's something that's really close to my heart, something that was super, super, super important that happened this weekend. And it's my little girl is now, she's been a woman for a while. But she's married, and now she's moving on to California with her husband, who's in the Navy, and she's moving out there, and she just found out that she's pregnant. So I was like, whoa, it just all kind of happened real quick, and I'm just totally, totally happy for her. And, you know, but yesterday was such an emotional time because we kind of had a little impromptu, you know, party, going away party for her, and I just saw all the people who have been in her life and my life, and just kind of the intertwining and the weaving, like the sweet grass when it's braided and brought together. And I was thinking about that, you know, how amazing this person is. And I was able to be part of her life and still am, and share those moments with her and just watch her smile and be happy. And I'm just happy that everybody came out, who could make it, and share that moment with her and saying goodbye to her temporarily, you know. It's hard for me because I'm used to having my family around me, and now she's moving on with her husband, and he's going to take care of her, and she's going to take care of him, however it's supposed to be. And I was happy, sad. You know what I'm saying? Where you're happy.
Yeah.
You're sad,
right.
But you're not sad because you know you're losing them. You're happy because they're growing up, but you're not going to see them the same way you used to. You start to appreciate people. You go, wow, I'm not going to see her like I did for, you know, 20 some years, you know, and here now she's going to be Facebooking me and, you know, texting me and stuff. But, you know, it's something about having that human interaction, that person right in front of you is going to be a little getting used to for me. And so that was one of the biggest things, the adjustments for me. But I'm super happy for them. I'm super, you know, and then my son's, his girlfriend's having a baby. I mean, it's just, I'm like grandpa, instant grandpa all of a sudden.
Twice over.
And the funny thing funny thing, David, my kids are like, they were cracking jokes about it. They're like, how do I explain this? Because I thought it was really funny when they were trying to tell me. They're like, my kids, they're going to send their grandkids off with me, and we're going to be out in the woods and hiking and opening our little bundles and doing our little ceremonies. They're going to come back home and go, yeah, I was with Papa Iggy, and we were out there, and we were looking under rocks for salamanders and stuff, and, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool to think about, you know. I'm going to be that hippie grandpa.
That's great. No, they couldn't ask for a better grandpa to teach them about nature and, you know, respect for life and how to connect with spirit. I mean, boy, those kids have a lot coming their way, you know. And then when they're born, of course, you know, then the real adventure begins because you've got them face to face and you can hold them and see them, and you know, and they grow up so fast too. I know I'm going out in August to see my grandchildren. I've got two myself, you know, where my daughter is in Washington, and that's like I'm looking at pictures she sends and little videos she sends, but I'm like, oh, those kids are growing up. They'll be driving before I get there.
Oh.
It feels like that, though. You know?
You and I have a West tour sometime.
Yeah, we do. Speaking of going west, yes. We are heading west, folks. We're taking the show on the road, and we're going to go to Devil's Tower. That's been a lifelong dream of yours, I understand.
That's right.
And we're going to hit the Badlands in South Dakota. We're going to see the Crazy Horse Memorial and Mount Rushmore and just whatever else happens along the way, whatever adventures we stumble into or sights we see. And just it's great to kind of just point yourself in a direction and go and see what happens. That's what we're going to do. And I'm so looking forward to it. You know, the West is where my heart is. So
yeah,
I'm heading, you know, closer to home in my idea, or, you know, closer to where I grew up at. So take you out there and, you know, let you have that experience of being right there at the foot of Devil's Tower, and, you know, we're going to drum there, we're going to have a whole pipe ceremony there. It's going to be a very special time, and we're going to take a lot of pictures, a lot of video, you know, and just share it with as many people as we can, you know, and just that's how we live life.
So when do you think we're going to hit Devil's Tower? What day do you think we're going to get there?
Okay, so it's about 20. It's about 20 hours away if we drive straight, you know, and I figure we'll stop for gas and whatever. But my idea is to just head straight out there like, you know, like a beeline, just go straight to there. Mm-hmm. That way we'll get there. If we leave in the morning, early morning Wednesday, we get out there early morning Thursday, and we can get a campsite, and we can spend the rest of the day out there. Next day we'll head on back, curve back around, and hit the Crazy Horse Memorial and, you know, the Mount Rushmore. They're only like 15, 20 minutes apart. And then we can just kind of tootle around the Badlands or whatever else we want to do. But,
nice.
You know, it's also, you know, open to whatever happens, too, whatever spirit wants to lead us into and teach us from. So, but, yeah. I've been there once. I've been to Devil's Tower once. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it again and then sharing it with you and whoever else is along with us.
Nice.
It's just going to be great, you know. It's going to be great.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And let's let Mark know that on Thursday – we might have a show, spontaneous show, when we're out there.
We can call in,
We can call in and have a show. So, Mark, I don't know what you're doing Thursday.
I think that would be great.
Check the schedule. That would be awesome to have, like, a show out from out west. From out west! Yeah, we can figure it out.
That's
right. If not, we can call directly in. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm excited,
Is Mark
man.
There with you?
Yeah, no, Mark's on the chat room. I can see him there. He's two fish
okay.
astrology. So those of you who need an astrologer, I highly recommend Mark. He's a good buddy of ours.
Oh yeah,
and he's in the right. And then I come back, and then I'm off to Peru. My summer is like jam packed, man. It's like boom.
That's right. So you're off to Peru for what? Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll be gone for 2 weeks in Peru. Yeah, I'll be doing a tour. I'll be doing a shamanic tour there. I'll be teaching there, and I'll also be learning there from another teacher, a new teacher of mine. And then we're going to do an ayahuasca ceremony. So it's going to be really exciting. We're going to go see Machu Picchu, and then we're going to go to the jungle. So that's what we do.
You know, for many years I lived life, you know, through books or through my own mind about thinking about places and going places, you know. One reason was I was in Alaska. And although Alaska's beautiful, it's got a lot of places to go, it's also kind of limiting in a way. It's away from everything else, and there's only so many ways to get somewhere in there. But coming down here, I mean, it just opened up a whole new world for me, and all the history that's here, the Native American mounds, you know, the land that's been walked for thousands of years. And, you know, I love Alaska. It's part of my soul, but I'm so glad I'm here now in this place and time, and that I've connected with the people that I've connected with. I know I wouldn't have had the same experiences or even... Mm-hmm. been the same person that I am now, if not. So I'm really grateful for every moment that I have here and all the new things that are coming my way. And just, like I say, humble and grateful to be a part of all this wonderful stuff that's going on in our world. And,
You know what's so cool, though? I want to share with the listeners, and I want you to tell the story after I kind of lead you into it. But David and I sometimes have these conversations, these deep conversations after we're off the air. And there's times where I ask David, I said, "Hey, David, is the work we're doing being noticed? Do people know that we're, you know, is there any, I know we're throwing seeds out there and we're planting things and things like that. But on our way back from the Magic Garden, we decided we wanted to stop for breakfast, and we could have gone anywhere. You know, honestly, we could have gone to a diner. Actually, we were going to go to Diner 23. But for some reason, we ended up at Bob Evans. And when we got to Bob Evans, everything was cool. Everything's normal. You know, you got a Bob Evans. How many people? Ba, ba, ba. Well, we sit down, and then the young girl who's our waitress, her name is Rose, she looks over at my pouch, and she goes, "So what's in your pouch?" And I said, "A panda and some stones." She goes, What kind of stones?" I said, "Well, there's a quartz, there's a crystal, and then there's a turquoise stone in there, still in the ore." And she just got so excited, and from there it just spun off. And then I'll let you finish the story, because it's pretty amazing.
That's right. So as we were talking more and more, you know, she told us, you know, about her experience and what she was, her focus of interest in spirituality and the stones that she has and who she is as a person. And it just started lining up more and more with our little group, you know. She reminded me of a young Adriana, you know.
Yeah.
You know, had all these things. She said, I like to, you know, go out in the woods with and take photos and dresses and things like that. That's so much, that's still Adriana, you know. And her energy was great. You know, you don't expect to meet people that deeply connected spiritually, just like off the cuff, just in any little town in Ohio, you know. But there she was. It was it was a divine appointment. There really was no other way to put it. But we were both meant to be in that space and time. So, you know, we had our breakfast, and as we were leaving, I was just urged by spirit to give her a copy of my book. So I went out to the car and got the book, and I signed it and gave it to her. She was very touched. You know, the day before was her birthday, so, you know, she can kind of consider it a birthday present or just a gift from spirit, you know. And that was great. And, you know, we left and drove on and, you know, asked her to friend me on Facebook if she wanted to. And so she did send me a friend request, and we would talk. She was chatting back and forth with me and told me that she took my book and went with her boyfriend up to the Waverly Graveyard, where they like to go and sit and meditate, you know. So they're reading passages of my book aloud to each other and in that place that they consider a sacred place, you know. And this really touched me, you know. And she said, your book is so great, you know. I'm getting so much out of it, and I'm looking forward to reading so much more. And that, my friend, tells me that we are planting seeds that are even now starting to bear fruit, starting to grow in this world. And it's very encouraging to make those connections and find out that people out there, you know, are thirsty for what we have, and that we can learn from them as well, and appreciate so much the network of folks that we're lining up here and are being put in our path. It's outstanding, just amazing, you know. And when we go places, you know, we're recognized, you know, and we're, oh, they're here, you know. It's like being a rock star, you know. I don't want to go to my head or anything, but the recognition is great, and just encourages me to do more of what we're doing, and you know, to put more of myself, if that's possible, into what we do, because it is important, and it is rewarded, and it is noticed. So that's just great. A good report from the field.
I thought it was awesome when you told me that today, that, you know, they were reciting things out of your book, and I was laughing like for joy, you know. It was a joyful laugh. I was like, man, that's awesome. That's so sweet. I was just so tickled by that, man. I was so happy for you and happy for them. And it's just cool how we sang happy birthday for this young lady. You know, it was her birthday was the day before. We just sang happy birthday out loud. And, you know, didn't blink an eye. She was like going to like sit down with us, I think. But she was working. It was really cool. It was just really cool to, you know, see that kind of spirit, you know, somebody who was really hungry and wanted to know more. And wanted to learn, just wanted to hang out with us. So there are people out there, and that's so important. It's our spirituality, that we walk our talk, you know, and we walk sacred, we talk sacred, because, you know, people watch us, people watch you, you know, people who are on the chat room, people are listening online, people are watching you, people are wondering what you're doing, and, you know, people are our mirrors, and the mirrors doesn't necessarily mean they reflect back the negatives, but they also reflect back the positive as well. So let's look for the good side of things, you know, because we always know we have a shadow side. We can't get rid of that, you know, but the shadow side is like this. You can't really look at it, because if you ever try to look at your back, you can't turn around and look at it really well, or if at all. Sometimes you need a mirror and you have to look behind and see. Sometimes you need two mirrors to look at your back. So, you know, we don't discount that we are shadow. It's like yin and yang, always moving through harmony, always flowing, you know, and always trying to find that rhythm and keep going. So we were in our rhythm this weekend, and it was just amazing. I was just totally happy.
Yeah.
That's been really cool.
Absolutely. You can tell. You can tell when we're in that groove, that flow, and it's more and more often. You know, it's so spontaneous that, you know, we like I said, we read each other's minds almost. We feel each other's spirits. We combine to become one. And when you and Adriana were playing the little drum, you know, with each other, and
that was awesome.
I was fascinated by the way that it's played off each other, and you kind of knew, you know, who's going to hit what, and, you know, I was trying to blend in there and still calm down enough so that you could be heard, and it's all about that. It's all about interacting with each other and not trying to overpower the other one or, you know, show off or anything like that, because the best music happens when all musicians are you know, blending as they should, you know, into one, you know, not trying to steal a show or, you know, put their own ego out there. That's when music really happens, and that's when our drum beats do really combine and become powerful. And it was so evident this weekend that we were on it.
Yeah, that was an amazing moment there, sharing that little drum with her, and we were drumming one side, mm-hmm. she was drumming the other side, and we were just feeding off our energy, kind of like that reading of the minds connection. There's that deep connection.
Right.
That's just one of the things that you just don't, we'll never forget.
No. And of
so,
course,
Adriana,
you know,
listening, that was awesome.
Yes, Adriana. That was great. You know, another confirmation came from when the owner of the Magic Garden came up to me and said, you know, you guys are doing so great. We just love having you here. It's just exactly what we want. And you are welcome anytime. And, you know, we really appreciate you. And I was just overwhelmed, and I said, you know, we appreciate being able to come here and being so, you know, welcomed, and this is a sacred place for us. And I said, well, that's we see that. We love that about you. So just to get that kind of acknowledgement, you know, because when I first went there, I was just a guest, and I was so overwhelmed with what was going on there. I never thought I'd be in the position now of, you know, lighting the fire, sacred fire, and also, you know, being so welcomed into that group. That it's amazing what can happen in just a few years, you know, if you just put yourself out there and follow Spirit's lead.
That's correct. Beautiful, beautiful time. Mm-hmm. So you got to see a little glimpse of our weekend and what we were doing, so it was pretty fun. Total bliss. And just like you said, it carried on to today. And I'm just itching to drum again.
Well, while we're waiting for Cindy, I wanted to bring something up, unless you want to take a break.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I think about the weather here. You know, we talk about the Columbus bubble. You know, we seem to be under mm-hmm. kind of a, almost like, you know, weather either goes north of us or south of us. And there's even a dividing line right down the middle of I-70. You know, it seems to be almost like, well, the storm's going to go north of I-70, or it's going to go south of I-70. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the way those two roads intersect, the 70 and 71 make such a cross. And then we have the outer belt, which is almost a circle. It's almost a medicine wheel.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
It's a little lopsided. You know, it's not perfect, but it almost forms in my mind a medicine wheel. So that combined with the mounds that are here and the energy that I feel, you know, it seems logical to me that we've got something really special going on here that even the weather acknowledges, you know, that it turns its course when it gets here. And I don't know, are there any other reason why, you know, there's nothing special about our landscape or anything that I can think of that would cause that to happen, but I'm just throwing that out there, just an observation.
Well, you know, that's a great observation when you think about it. Pretty exciting. So let's take a break.
Yep.
We'll come right back, and Cindy will be calling in at some point here, and we'll continue if she's not. But I hope you guys can stick around. Cindy won't be giving any readings, so if you're waiting for a reading for that, she's not. That's not where she's going to be at today. That's not where she's focusing her energy. So I just want you guys to let you know, okay? Right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I'm here with my buddy, David Tucros. We are flying along. The caw-caw motions. Yeah, but we're jamming it out, man. So I hope you guys enjoyed what we shared with you earlier here in the first part of the show, the first half hour. I'm pretty excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we do some silly stuff, too. It's almost we are kind of sacred clowns in a way, because we just want to bring that joy that we feel in us everywhere we go, and not take ourselves too seriously or let people take themselves too seriously. So, you know, we're not your typical kind of stuffy and uptight kind of spiritual people who, you know, can't be insulted with that kind of negative energy that you're bringing in, or that silliness, you know. We love it. We embrace it. We want to, that's life, you know, and we want to be alive. We want to be powerful and powerfully moved by that that inner child, you know, that we have in us, you know. So we do goofy things along the way. We make silly little videos, or, you know, we laugh so hard our ribs hurt, stomach surfing laughing, and it's wonderful to take a little road trip with my crew and have those things, you know. And
absolutely.
I'm approaching 60 years old, but I feel like I'm 20. You know, I feel like I'm so young inside, and we keep that. We keep that spirit alive, and in the show,
awesome.
You know, it's
yes.
noticed, so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's move on to the interview then, David, since I think we've shared everything that we need to share for today.
Sure.
So I want to welcome everybody to the show. Cindy Riggs is a psychic, a spiritual mentor, a universe channel, and a defrag mentor. So she's going to share with us some of her thoughts and what's on her mind, and I'm pretty excited to hear. So welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
I'm so excited.
Hi. So you got two of us tonight to share and pick your brain a little bit.
Okay, great.
All right.
So
Cindy,
I want to talk about.
Before we begin, I mean, mm-hmm. I know you've done a lot of radio interviews, so we have a lot of listeners who probably have never met you. So
okay.
I would like to ask you, see if you maybe share a little bit about yourself and explain, you know, who you are, what you do, and I know you want to talk about the particles of space and time,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get into that, but share a little story about us, how you got on this sacred path, the spiritual path that you're on.
Interestingly, I got on this path as a result of being pretty unhappy in my life, and I have about an 8-minute podcast that people can listen to from my website that tells that story, so I don't want to tell the whole story,
because
it will use up our time, but it was one of those, like, times of my life where I couldn't have been more unhappy with my life, and I had a pretty bad car accident that where I flipped the car, and so my life was turned upside down in order to get my attention, because I was living so 3D, I was living so ego-oriented, so much of a victim, and fortunately that happened to me, because it sort of set me on the right path, and then I discovered Reiki, which I talk about was the thing that really opened me up to psychic ability. So it was my first Reiki attunement that really kind of, I mean, I was awakened by the car accident, but then it was the attunement that really woke me up to abilities that I didn't know I had, but I was interested in, sure. I thought it was just that other people could do that. And so I felt as though I could develop these if other people could, and it's just been an amazing journey of learning, of trying to let go. That's the biggest piece, I think, was trying to let go of the need to understand all of it. And the more I let go, the more awesome things that happen, you know, just talking about sitting down by the water and drumming and just being, you know. I didn't know how to be before. I just knew how to do. And the more I asked for guidance, the more I received it. And so it's been this whole developmental pathway that I really didn't ask for, and yet I did. Like I said, you know, I want more awareness. I want more experiences. And what I got were things that I never would have really pursued or asked for. So that's been the interesting thing about it, and where people say, I want this or I want that, I'm like, could you maybe let go of being that specific? Because if
right.
I were specific in the beginning, I don't know if I would have gotten all of the experiences that I've gotten to date, particularly my channeling, which was kind of my first thing that I was able to develop, which may be unusual for many psychics, but mm-hmm. I just decided to let go of everything I learned in religion and let go of everything that I, you know, thought was the truth, and be open to that truth showing itself to me. And that's been really, really amazing. truly amazing. Like, I didn't know if extraterrestrials were real or angels. And I said, well, if they're real, then I got to see them and experience them so that I can believe they're real, because otherwise we don't have any evidence. And that happens. That keeps happening. So yep, it's just been a really fascinating process. And the more I ask for alignment with my soul, which is something I learned when I channeled my book, Vishnu Speaks, the more things seem to line up. And again, things I wouldn't have pursued myself have come into my experience, which are amazing.
Awesome.
Great.
Totally awesome.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I do psychic readings. I can see, hear, feel, know. I communicate with angel spirit guides, pretty much any being in the universe. By now, I've communicated with literally thousands, and I've never, ever requested one. I've always just said, who wants to speak to me today? And that's what's been so amazing. If people want a taste of some of those beings or some of their messages, I have a whole transcript archive. I think currently there are 85 transcripts on my website that you can read from channeling sessions that I do once a month, and that's really, really fascinating. So channeling, really my forte. And then one day I said, you know, soul of mine, why don't you show me what you want to be through me? And I'm not attached to anything. I really just said, you show me what you want to do. And then the ghost busting work came into my experience. I would not have pursued that, trust me. But I discovered very quickly that I'm really, really able to clear successfully spirits that are misguided or lost. So that is another kind of large part of my business. I teach Reiki. I do all kinds of different body works. Every time something really appeals to me, I go study it and add it to my toolbox. I studied remote viewing with a former CIA psychic spy, and that was pretty fascinating. I do that a lot, especially with some of what we're going to talk about today. I do hypnosis, past life regression, another thing we're going to hopefully talk about. I coach people, just life coaching. It's all about helping people get to happy, because first I had to work on me, and then when I started to get some of this stuff, I could begin helping others. So I'm Very really, good. Really grateful to be doing what I do and just everything that is happening and continues to happen.
Awesome. Now, when I was talking to you a little bit about what direction we wanted to go, because I know you have like a lot of stuff, you brought up to me particles of space and time.
Yeah. I said, give me a few minutes. I'll get the guidance and I'll talk to you. Yeah, you know, that seems to be the most current theme with what I'm channeling. You know, they keep telling us, okay, they talk about the law of attraction, or they talked about the law of attraction for a few years, and they still do. And the one thing I want to say before I talk about anything is there's no new information. There's just many different ways of expressing it, understanding it, talking about it. So, and yet it seems new to us. It seems new to me each time. So kind of a new theme I've been hearing is about particles. Even I channeled the Master Jesus, I channeled Buddha, I think, last month, and they talk about, think of everything as particles. Because the truth is, at the subatomic level, everything is particles, the same particles. And so we have to, I think what they're trying to do is move us out of this illusion of separateness, where we are separate bodies, where we have separate homes and separate personalities, because, you know, when we drill it down, we're really all just the same kind of particles vibrating differently. And so the particles of space-time, there are many ways of looking at this whole particle concept. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay. David, wow. I think I cut you off earlier, so if you want to say something, you know, I apologize. We're not together.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, we're both on the phone, so it's going to be giving each other some space. But what I wanted to say was, first of all, I think that's great the way you came about your spiritual path by just Reiki was one thing for me that really opened me up too. You know, I came in with kind of an open-minded, skeptical mind of, look, how is this going to work? I mean, and people do these symbols on your head and your hands light up. I mean, really, you know, because I think that way. But you know what? I found out it's totally real, you know, and it works. And I don't know why it works or how it works, but it works. So that opened me up a little more too. You know, what else is out there? What, you know, if you just open yourself up to it and not try to pursue it or think of a goal in mind, but just let yourself flow with it, you know, it opens right up for you because you are being spirit led. And that's what I admire about you is you just said, yes, I'm here. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
That's when the magic happens.
I even said, you can send me back to the corporate world if you want. I'm not attached to doing this spiritual work. Just show me what it is.
Right.
Because I'm tired of trying to figure it out, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can make a plan. You can say, well, I'm a Buddhist, so I'm going to advance to these different levels and see these different teachers. But you may not, your spirit may not be that way. You may want to go off into, you know, do some shamanic work or go off and do some, you know, some energy work over here, you know? So when you have yourself, just leave yourself open to it. You really do just open yourself up to a galaxy of possibilities. So I do admire that about you. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. And I'd also like to say that along the way, I've had a few business experts say, you know, you really ought to focus on one thing and just do that. And I had to have enough, I guess, willpower to say, no, that's not who I am. I'm open to whatever. And for a while, it seemed like I'm doing all these things and they don't really relate. But then now they've come together. In the past few years, I've created this defragmenting, which is essentially soul retrieval work. But it seems to all be coming together now into one comprehensive thing, which is really, really exciting.
Great. Back over to you, Iggy.
We're ready. Take us on that path. Take us on that journey. Paint us that picture.
Okay. All right. So I guess I would start with the concept of past lives, because I still almost every week meet somebody who says, well, I'm not sure I believe in that. And I'm like, well, I don't blame you because we don't have any evidence of it. But what I can tell you is that I've had a bunch of experiences that are pretty interesting, past life related, and whether it's real or not, it seems to be helping. So most people are aware of past life regression, where you are put into a hypnotic state. You are hopefully able to see another lifetime in order to learn something from it. And most people get benefit from that. Now, the concept of past lives, as I describe it in my lectures, is if you think of your soul, your entire soul, or your oversoul, some people call it, as a power strip, and then in this space-time, third-dimensional space, you are plugged into the strip for one lifetime. So it would seem that for one incarnation, you would be plugged in to that power strip in one place in this space-time, this third-dimensional space. Now, what I've discovered in doing my soul retrieval, my defragmenting work, which I'm sure, Iggy, you have too, is that sometimes we, well, as anybody knows who's interested in ghost hunting or anything paranormal, some people die and don't cross over. So if that were you and you had a traumatic event around your death, you're still plugged into the power strip here while you're plugged into this lifetime and you're sharing that current. So it's interesting because the next concept I want to talk about is that all lives are happening at once, but some people, it's difficult to wrap their mind around that. I'm not sure we can ever completely wrap our mind around that, but it's interesting to entertain. So when we are still plugged in here in another lifetime, it's so fascinating. My technique, which I've never been taught by anybody but my own guide, is to literally remote view that past life. So I'm sending part of my consciousness to that lifetime. I'm discovering the person there. I'm finding out why they died or what's happened, why they didn't cross over, and I cross them over, therefore unplugging them from the power strip. So that issue or that trauma can no longer affect them now. And I have seen people shift instantly just sitting on the couch across from me while I'm doing it. I'm not touching them. I'm not doing it. They're not in a trance. I'm doing all of it. I'm exploring all of it. They're hearing both sides of the conversation as I talk to them, and then I cross them over. I've had people shift so dramatically that, or at least they can feel something in their body, or maybe some pain leaves that was bothering them. It's fascinating. So how is that possible if it's a past life in another time and space? Because it's really not in another space. It may be another time from our perspective, but I don't believe it's another space. So, but then we have to drill it down to particles anyway. But there's a whole bunch of configurations of particles going on here. And I think it was either Jesus or the Buddha who was talking about configurating your particles. And I'll get more into that later. So that's my concept of past life. Does that make sense to you guys?
That makes sense to me.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It's kind of, like you said, hard to wrap your brain around the fact that, your conscious mind anyway, around the fact that all lives are happening at the same time. I wanted to bring up just a quick question and kind of throw this out there and say, you know, why do you think we have amnesia about our past lives in this life?
That is a great question. And I would have to say that I've met a few people that don't have as much amnesia as others, especially younger people right now. I met a kid maybe 10 years ago or more who had access to many of his past lives. And it was really confusing. You know, just like earlier, I think, David, you said it's hard to get back into this reality. And when you have access to all those lifetimes, how do you know which reality you're in? You know, like,
absolutely.
I think the reason for the amnesia is so that you can focus on the particular configuration of particles that you've chosen and the experiences around it. Otherwise, you're kind of all over the place, fragmented maybe, or not being able to live in that illusion or that hologram. It was actually Jesus who talked a lot about the hologram. He's like, this is a hologram. You're in a hologram. But is this the reality or is the dream time the reality? And I would have to say both. I would say both.
Yeah, I would
so
say both.
Why
too.
Do we have amnesia? I think it's just so we're not crazy. You know, so we can focus on that one hologram that we've chosen.
Yeah, even in my culture, we teach that, you know, that time is an illusion, that it doesn't, you know, it's just a measurement that we use here on this 3D plane. But, you know, the past, the present, the future are all happening. And then so we have connections with our higher selves, which what we call higher selves, we're actually, they're ourselves. They are us. And they come to us in different forms and different shapes and sizes and however we need to, you know, handle them. So I find that really interesting. And then the dream state, yeah, I believe that too. Is that it's totally, you know, as real as what we're experiencing here. And sometimes some people would say the other one's more real than this one. I don't know. So it's all perception.
I know. Yeah. I do a lot of meditating, as you guys probably do. And sometimes I'm driving along and I'm like, which reality am I in right now? because I do spend so much time in other realities, I guess, or other, I don't want to say places, because they're not really places, just other configurations, maybe, of particles. But the dreamland or the dream time, of course, is still such a mystery to many people, especially to scientists. And why would it be that dreams seem so real and so intense, and as soon as we wake up, they don't make any sense? Because they do make sense in that reality.
Right.
And then
in
this reality, it doesn't.
I think dolphins are the other creatures that dream, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Dolphins dream like we do. Technically, I think science actually says we're not even supposed to be dreamers. We're not even supposed to be able to dream the way our brains work. I mean, science always has their hitch on stuff and how they look at things. But, you know, they always want to debunk stuff. But I find it interesting, you know, I don't know, you probably know Jim Hetzer. I don't know if you guys know Jim Hetzer. He's a good buddy of ours. But yesterday he was telling me about one of his scientific friends. He asked him, well, if the universe was the Big Bang, then why are all these universes all of a sudden appearing out of nowhere in the universe?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening? And so his friend goes, shh, you're not supposed to ask that question. You know, it's because science doesn't have an answer for it.
Right. Well, science doesn't have an answer for a lot of things, and that's why I love this realm of work, because we're never going to know it all. We don't have the brain capacity to know it all here, and mm-hmm. so it's always going to be discovering and theorizing and experiencing. It's just fascinating. So I guess, so if you say that we're not supposed to be dreaming, does that mean we're all divergent?
Oh, there you go. I never thought about that.
Well, they say bees aren't supposed to be able to fly either, so, you know, they don't care.
That's
that they don't,
right.
They're not supposed to be able to fly. They just do it. But, you know,
because they don't
back
know.
To science, that's right. They don't know. But back to science for a minute. You know, I do find that science is a useful tool for measuring our perception of reality and you know, what we can actually see and measure. But there's so much that is beyond that even scientists will admit that when you get down to the small particles, the quantum level, things just don't make sense in a scientific mm-hmm. manner. Because they're popping in and out of existence all the time, and it's a real conundrum for them. And they're coming to the point of just coming around and saying, you know what? What's real, what we see as real, isn't really real until we perceive it. Other than that,
right.
it's all potential, you know? So we
right.
create reality is what it'll boil down to.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because particles follow intention.
Yes. That's true.
Energy follows intention, and that's why it's important that we realize when it comes to our physical bodies and our health, that we can influence it much more than we are taught that we can. We are in a society where we're victims, and then we have all of this war on cancer and all of this awareness, breast cancer awareness. Well, what is awareness causing? It's causing more of a collective consciousness of fear. So
mm-hmm.
I think part of a spiritual path is rising above all of that duality and really vibrating in the knowing of I'm just a configuration of particles, and I can change that with a thought. I can't say I've got it mastered myself, but sure. I'm certainly working on it. It's really interesting to think about.
No, I'm with you on that too, because my thoughts are leading me to this realization that, you know, we are self-empowered. We can become radically self-empowered. We give so much
mm-hmm.
of ourselves away to the external. You know, we put our faith in this, or we put our trust in that, or we think we need this, we need that. And that needs are what sells products. And, of course, in our society,
right.
we're not going to be told, you're self-sufficient, you don't really need anything.
Except
you need to buy this, you know. So we're always being pulled and manipulated by these imaginary needs that we have, and that's one of my goals in life, is to kind of bring that into the fore, into people's minds, and have them really start to understand and look at that and see ways to mitigate that. But I definitely agree with you. So
when I worked in retail design research, I learned that everything that we buy, everything that we do, we are trying to get an emotion. The result is the emotion. So that's why so much of our marketing is geared toward the emotion. You know, like sometimes it doesn't even seem like they're selling the product, that they're selling the lifestyle or the emotion of the product. And so what's an emotion? It is energy in motion that is created by thought. So it's just another configuration of particles that our thought has created, sometimes in less than a tenth of a second. So if we're aware of that, then we can say, wow, do I really need that? Do I really need that
mm-hmm.
third piece of chocolate cake or whatever it is, because I'm trying to get an emotion? If we understand that, then all we really need to do is just be present. And if we can open ourselves up to universal energy, that's more of a high than anything can provide temporarily here. Not to mention the fact
Absolutely.
That we can pull in universal life force energy to heal ourselves.
Nice. I'm just soaking it in.
Okay. You're integrating. Integrating.com.
Yeah. I'm just sucking it in.
Good. Yeah, so then I want to talk about, I was channeling last week and I have an article on my website, which is now kind of out of date because it was entitled Energy Kicked Up a Notch This Week. Because I got this information last Tuesday, wrote the article immediately as they requested that I do, put it out there, put it on the website, put it on Facebook, emailed it to my list, and I said, hey, check this out. Here's the stuff I got today from All It Is. And part of it was, well, the main thing was that last week was a very powerful time, beginning with the full moon, the full strawberry moon, and then ending, I guess, yesterday, last night, just an accelerated or supercharged time for manifestation. So they were saying things like, this is a really good time to state some intentions or manifest what you want to manifest because it will be amplified. But that doesn't mean you can't do it all the time. Then they went on to talk about the particle accelerator at CERN in Switzerland, which I was not expecting at all. And they said that, interestingly, and a lot of people are concerned about it. So, and we were even talking about how our universe is showing up, maybe because people are learning how to manipulate particles. And I don't know if there's a certain number of particles or if they can keep multiplying. I would think they could multiply. Why wouldn't they? So they said, they showed me this, the particle accelerator, which is, I don't even know how many miles across, it's a big circle, and they said the technology is becoming more potentially powerful. Again, a lot of people are concerned about that, but that's because maybe they automatically go to fear. But they said it's raising the frequency in that area of the planet. The technology is evolving, and the energy is not contained, as many may believe. They said the residual energy is currently having a positive effect on this space-time. And I would assume also the Earth's grid. They said it's not, but if it's not controlled, it could cause rifts in space-time, which I immediately thought, oh, boy, how exciting. I want to see a rip in space-time. And I kind of think I have in the past, because I remember a few times just being in a room and all of a sudden there's just like a black void and it looks like there's something mechanical behind it. And I don't know what that is. And I remember somebody said, you're not supposed to see that. And I don't know what it is, but it almost looked like a rip in space time, or a rip in my reality, at least in a rip in my room. So that was kind of exciting. And but overall, they said what's happening here is currently positively affecting the entire Earth's energy, and they even call it a healing place. So I just thought that was fascinating for anybody who's interested in CERN or technology or science, quantum physics. I just thought that was fascinating. And when you think about rips in space-time, like that movie Interstellar.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That bookshelf scene was, that bookshelf scene alone is something that we could watch over and over and over and still not really grasp how that's working, how all time is happening at once, and that he had access to it almost like he was in a computer.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that's been fascinating to me with the Elohim. So the Elohim, Hebrew word for God, but I encounter the Elohim as a collective of what they call themselves creator gods. And they will merge with me to work on someone, and I can see them sending through my hands into the person's, their energy meridians. It looks like they're reprogramming the code. So they're always talking about repatterning or new codes or codes of frequency, and they seem to be almost like in the Matrix, like that, who was the architect? It's like they can program everything, but they can't really interfere with free will, because there's something about we chose free will here. But if part of our free will is to be open to healing or expansion, then it seems they are able to reprogram some of their particles.
We just had this conversation last week, didn't we, David, about the free will? Yeah, about free will and how is it really free? I mean, is it really ours, or is it collective share?
Yeah.
You know? So
we could talk for hours about that because it is and it isn't. It's like if everything's happening at once, then everything we're going to choose we've already chosen. So it's we're going to choose it, but at the same time we don't know that. So we think we're choosing it with free will. Now, last August, I was meditating one morning, and this being came to me. She gave me her name. She said she was Pleiadian, and she said she was me from the future. So I'm like, okay, but I've only encountered her a few times, and she doesn't really talk. She just shows up. She won't really tell me anything or, you know, give me scores or anything, baseball scores.
lottery numbers.
You know, like in Back to the Future, where he wins all those bets because he gets, you know, the sports thing after the... but anyway, that's fascinating to me, and I think she just showed up to say, yeah, you're also in the future, and you have access to that, even though it's not really going to reveal much to you, at least not so far. So that's kind of fascinating.
Interesting, yeah. You know, while we're on the subject of extraterrestrials, you know, one of my thoughts is, what if some of these are actually us from the future coming back in time, and you know, now we get a chance to kind of meddle around in the timeline, because every time something different happens, it spins off into the timeline, so ours isn't affected, but, you know, these big people can come back and look at us, or, you know, it's us from the future, basically.
Oh, I think about that all the time, because... why else would they be giving us advice? Why else would they be trying to assist us? Because what happens here echoes out to the whole universe.
Yes.
So, you know, we set up an atomic bomb here. It's affecting other star systems. Why wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Because
that's
everything's
awesome.
Particle. And everything's connected.
Mm-hmm. You know, David, you mentioned something last week also about the door at your house, the lock.
You know, that's interesting, yeah. You know, I have the feeling, and I really just have the feeling that somewhere along the way in the past few months, we jumped timelines, or at least maybe I did personally, because the front door of my house has one of those punch button locks, you know, that you punch the code in and you turn the knob and it opens. And when you go out the door, at least the way I remember it being, you go out the door and you just flip the switch. You didn't have to punch the code in. Well, suddenly one day I go out there and that didn't work. And I tried to punch the code in and turn the knob. And I asked everybody around the house, I said, when did that change? Did you guys do something to the door? And everyone was like, no, it's always been that way. I certainly remember that it was not that way, you know. So little things like that kind of get me thinking that, you know, maybe things are changing subtly or even not so subtly in our lives, that that those timelines are starting to intermingle. And, you know, maybe the me from this reality stepped over to a different one, and another me came in and said, slightly different, and said, okay, you know, I'll live over here for a while. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and why not? Because you're still the same person in the same time.
Sure.
But, wow, that's fascinating.
You know, we have a friend who does sacred geometry, too. He does tesseracts and other designs that he has, and he'll say right out front that he can jump timelines, that this is a tool, of like a portal that, you know, you can use for that. So, you know, maybe some of that rubbed off. I don't know, but it was certainly interesting.
Yeah. Or when you know you've placed something somewhere and it's not there, and then it reappears in the same place. I've seen that happen before my eyes. It's in my podcast. I tell that story. And does that mean a spirit took it away and put it back? No, I think I jumped into something else.
Awesome. Let's go to a break real quick, and we'll be right back, okay, guys? So hang tight.
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Not quite yet. There's a little show to do.
are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia and with David Tucros, and our guest Cindy Riggs is with us. She's been sharing with us what goes wrong in her mind. And you know what? It's a cool mind.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying this. This is like right up our alley. It's like, woohoo.
You picked the right topic. Yeah, the three of us are just totally geeking out here. I love it.
Geek us. Yeah, take it any day.
Yeah, I was thinking more on the break about rips in space-time. And, you know, I've had a lot of clients tell me they'll be driving by. I had a client tell me he drove by a house, and it happened a number of times where he saw, like, a fire was in the fireplace inside, and it almost like he was seeing it 100 years ago because nobody was living in there. And somebody I talked to last week said I was at the Serpent Mound. This person said they were at the Serpent Mound, and all of a sudden somebody, they saw, you know, like Indians chanting and dancing. And like, how does that happen? How does that occur if we don't actually have access to all time and space, which of course we do?
Yeah, you know, in my experience, I've spoken to people who either they've seen a UFO, they know somebody who's seen a UFO, and these are very people who are just very normal, kind of everyday folks, mm-hmm. and it's like that. If you ask someone, you come right out and ask them, have you seen one, and they trust you, they'll start to share all kinds of stories with you. Mm-hmm. I had a coworker up there in Alaska who, she had told me that she had actually seen a portal, a rip, like you're talking about, in space-time, mm-hmm. and there was a UFO that came out of it, and then it disappeared, but yeah, she swore that that's what she saw, and it's mm-hmm. it's probably more common than you think. You know, I was thinking about these crypto beings, you know, like Sasquatch and the Loch Ness Monster and things mm-hmm. like that. People very sane people have seen, you know, and will swear by. They can come and go. It seems like they pop in and out of reality, and maybe they've just learned where the holes in our Swiss cheese universe are that they can mm-hmm. jump through.
Awesome.
Well, there have to be portals all over the planet. I mean, we've heard about Tibet. We've heard about all the Bermuda Triangle. I mean, what's going on there? Yeah. there have to be portals, and there have to be people who are vibrating at the right frequency, at the right time, at the right place, and things can happen. Mm-hmm. Why do people mm-hmm. disappear without a trace? You know, why do there are a lot of strange anomalies.
And Iggy, in your culture, Iggy, in the Peruvian culture, there are transporters and portals and things like that from ancient times.
Yeah, you know, we don't give enough credit to old ancient societies. We think that, you know, I told you this last week, that the pyramids were built by aliens. But you know what? Maybe humans just had the technology in their mind. Maybe they had technologies that we're just not aware of. We just don't, we discount the human, you know, mind and mm-hmm. human nature to be able to do things. You know, shamans, they probably still do, and I'm still trying to work on this. But they could go up a tree and end up on another side of the world. There are the ley lines mm-hmm. on this planet, you know, just our transportation. I think man was flying way before 100 years ago. I know in Peru mm-hmm. we have an airport strip that's, you know, when we're going to go visit here this June. But we have an airport strip, you know, that we were used by the people who would glide off the mountains and fly. So it's nothing new. We just don't give credit to old societies and old cultures. And the UFO concept, well, we talked about, you know, time being an illusion and that it's all happening together. I think they're classrooms. I think that's how they come back and study history. You know, they come back and they come in these UFOs, and you know, they're just like buses, you know. And my mind goes everywhere on this
stuff. I like that. It's like a field trip.
Yeah, it's like a field trip.
Field trip to field trip to the Ohio Historical Society or whatever, you know, like
History proves that. If you look at a lot of paintings in old Renaissance paintings and different stuff, you'll see pictures of UFOs and different things just show up. Then why would you go back to the Renaissance? Because you want to go learn and study it.
Right.
You know? And the Bible even talks about it. They talk about, you know, the chariots of fire and all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's just history points it out all the time. If we're good, you know, good sleuth, you know, and we're a good detective and we listen and we look at the right things, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of extraterrestrials that I channel will say, we are helping you. We are sending you frequencies. We are sending you energies. We're not going to bring our ships here so much because, you know, your government will shoot us down. So we prefer to work with you interdimensionally. And there's a lot of that going on that I've seen.
Tons of interdimensional.
Very exciting. And so when people say, how can I have an experience of that? Meditate. That's how you get interdimensional. That's how you get access to more stuff.
Absolutely. I'm an interdimensional guy. There's no out there in my mind. It's all kind of intertwined within itself. Stargate's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
The show Stargate.
Oh,
you know, they go to Stargate and they just shoot off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what about the concept of we used to have 12 strands of DNA? Imagine the capabilities we had that we wouldn't even need machines. You know, they talk about the stones in Bolivia.
Yeah,
That site in Bolivia. And it's like, how did they machine these when we can't find any machines? Well, maybe they didn't need machines. Because
exactly.
We had 12 strands of DNA, I don't know if we even need bodies, but and there's that concept too, which I have heard a few times in my channelings, and I think there's definitely something there, although I don't know what the timeline would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the site you're talking about in Bolivia, those stones are cut so precise, they can't, and a laser
mm-hmm.
can't even cut them that precise. They've tried.
Right.
Right. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. What's the name of that site?
I don't know right off. Yeah, it's not in Peru, but it's in Bolivia. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's in Bolivia. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question that probably some listeners might think, or it's kind of I want to say devil's advocate, but how do you know when you're actually channeling something as opposed to maybe what's yours in your mind and you're just finding an outlet for it? Or does that even matter?
Right. Well, it does matter. It matters to me a lot because I want to be as clear and pure as I can be so that information can be as clear and pure as it can be. So I always step my consciousness out of my body, and I can feel it. I can feel it so intensely, the being's energy in my body, that there's just no question. I don't think I could be creating that kind of energy. Energetic feeling. So I step my consciousness out, and people who see energy can actually see me standing beside my body, which has helped to confirm that I'm really doing that. And then the fact that I learned so much from those channelings just tells me that I couldn't have just been making that up.
Very good.
Awesome.
So that's how I know, or I think I know. I mean, I can't prove it. I can't prove any of it. But I just have to keep going with
But there's this feeling that you just have and you just know. And I mean, it's just not, it's, you can't even describe it. That's how I know
mm-hmm.
when I'm doing my work. It's like, mm-hmm. It's not fear. It's that intuition. It's that moment when you just know in every cell of your body that you're having this whatever experience, whatever you want to call it. But
mm-hmm.
that's how it is for me.
And I'm seeing things that I haven't imagined before. And I'm hearing words come out of my mouth that I haven't imagined, concepts I haven't imagined before. That's how I know, to me, that it's actually happening, that it's real. And like I said, I've learned so much from these beings. Vishnu especially. That's the one book that I have published right now, Vishnu Speaks. That the one concept that he said is, ask for alignment with your soul's evolution, you override all of duality, and there's nothing else to ask for because that's why you're here. And I literally flew back in my chair that morning and I said, what did you just say? Because all of this time I had been taught to ask for the highest good, you know, or mm-hmm. highest or best or, and he's like, you're still coming from duality when you're doing that. Ask for alignment with your soul. And that changed everything for me, the way I think and work and operate.
That makes sense. Totally makes
awesome.
Sense.
Yes.
It totally does. But why didn't I think of it before? Because
well, it breaks down the hierarchy too, you know. May the highest purpose be served or whatever. You know, there's and we had a conversation last week too. It was a great show here last week. So we have great shows here all the time actually.
Uh huh. Yeah, and so when I thought it, when I think about that and I ask for that every day, I kind of maintain that whole attitude of just thank you, universe, for aligning me with my soul's evolution. It seems like that's almost a shortcut to your blueprint. Even though we can't know what our blueprint is, it's saying, hey, let's activate this clearest path possible. And then magic happens. Synchronicities, opportunities, awesome stuff.
That's correct.
Yep, I agree. I agree. We've seen it in our life as we just kind of let ourselves be open to spirit instead of going, you know, we're doing this shamanic practice or we're just holding this ceremony. Sometimes we just show up and maybe my job is to hold the door for somebody, you know, so that they can come in. Or, you know,
sometimes.
I might be center stage. Sometimes I might be off in the audience. Sometimes I might be doing this and that. But when you just show, when you're just a servant, when you just go, you know what, I want to make myself available. You know, all kinds of wonderful things happen. Yeah, much more than if you set out with the path and, you know, I'm going to accomplish this first and then this and then this. Just show up. Mm-hmm. Just be available. And so many great things will happen.
It really does. And we can create the day we want it, although not always. We really can manipulate. We can manifest what we want. But there's so much more that our mind doesn't know about yet. So whenever we think we know what we want, there's more that we could experience that's really magical that we can't even conceive of, and then all we're creating is, you know, the bare minimum for ourselves.
Right. We were talking last week about destiny as opposed to free will. It was one of the topics we hit on earlier on the show, too. But I fall more on the side of free will, although I do believe that, like you're saying, we have a blueprint and a design, and we can put that off as long as we want, you know, by just ignoring it or putting it out of our life. But those opportunities will keep coming up, you know, where you'll hear something, you'll see something, you'll know something, somebody will say something, you hear a song on the radio. It's like the universe is constantly tapping you on the shoulder to get your attention, but you can choose to ignore that all your life if you want to. But I believe that when you get to the other side and you really are in that open reality, you're going to go, why did I do that? Why was I so afraid to get this wonderful, you know, my destiny, my purpose, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
But
we
have that free will to do that. So.
Mm-hmm. And so many people are caught up on what is my purpose. I can't take any action until I know what it is. I can't move forward until I know what it is. And I was channeling the oneness and they said, okay, what if your purpose is a list of 2,000 things that you are to complete? And one of those things is like, making eye contact with that dog in the post office on July 17th of 1976. Okay, check mark. And then the next, you know, saying hi to that person in the elevator and reconnecting your energy with them on August 2nd of 2001. And, you know, it's like your purpose isn't like one thing. It's your ego that thinks it's doctor or lawyer or something important. It may be a whole bunch of little things that really are important, but they don't seem important.
Right. You know, it's like those little pebbles you throw in the pond that make those ripples all the way out to the edge. You know, each of us is throwing pebbles every single moment in our lives. We're throwing those pebbles out, and they're interacting. And, you know, when you can start to see the bigger patterns and start to, you know, make choices about which pebbles you're throwing out and where they're going, you know, you can make some wonderful patterns and connections and interact with other people who are starting to wake up to their own effects in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's how we move the vibration up globally and universally.
Yeah. That's right. And if you can't see the patterns, but if you can trust that they're happening, then you begin to see them. It's like that, you'll see it when you believe it, like Wayne Dyer said.
Yeah. You know, it's funny is when you're one person, like I always, this is my biggest thing. I think one person can change situations very quickly. You know, kind of, you mentioned the elevator situation. Like when people get on the elevator, no one says anything to anybody.
Yeah.
But you can hear, but you can hear everybody thinking and everybody saying something like, "Don't talk to me." Oh my God. Or, you know, like you're too close to me or whatever. You know, you could hear, you can hear them. You know, it's the funniest thing. But I'm always one of those guys that always says something. And, you know, it's like, and then it, cuts the ice real quick. But people spend so much energy not trying to talk or not trying to communicate sometimes.
I know. And it's like just, it would be easier just to say something.
Yeah, it's they spend so much energy to just not speak. Little observation.
A lot of it's fear. You know, our society cultivates fear, and basically it wants us divided up into little groups and subgroups and individuals, you know, because that's how we are controlled. You know, so fear is a control mechanism, and a lot of people walk around with a lot of fear just because it, what if I talk to this person, you know, or what's this person going to do to me like that person did on the news, you know, and all these other things. So we carry a lot of that around, and it serves the purpose of, I guess you would call it, the world as it is, you know, for us to remain that way. But many of us are breaking down. We know the antidote to fear is basically just opening up to the now and to the love within us and within each one of us, and those barriers will start to break down, and we will make those connections. And, you know, a person can turn from a frown to a smile in an instant. I've seen it happen many times, you know, or they'll make an eye contact with you, and they'll see a trusted soul in there, and they'll go, oh, you know, I can relax. I can be myself. I can smile. I don't have to put up this guard all the time. So those are the moments when we see the cracks, and we can actually, you know, shoot in some of that energy, some of that light, some of that, you know, make that connection, and we can receive it too. So
Yeah, a lot of people I talk to on the other side, you know, who have crossed over from this lifetime say, why are you wasting your time worrying? Why are you wasting your time in fear? Why are you wasting time in apprehension? If you could see how quick your life is, you wouldn't waste time with any of that. And I had a friend pass away at the age of 45 early this year, and suddenly and unexpectedly, and that's when I realized none of us know how much time we have, and that's the amnesia. That's how we're supposed to be. But why are we, like, holding back and waiting just because we're afraid? I had somebody ask me last week, I'm afraid, I don't know if I said the right thing. I said, I believe that everything that's ever said was meant to be said, and if someone's offended, then there's a lesson going on there or something. But if it was not supposed to be said, it wouldn't have been said. And sometimes it's to plant a seed or to show somebody, you know, how they're perceiving things.
Right. Just another little quick point. You know, we had a friend just a couple of weeks ago, a young friend who passed away suddenly and really caused us all to just take a step back and realize, you know, the interconnection of things, and that life is very precious and very quick. So I noticed it too, it just seems to me, maybe this is wrong, but it seems to me like a lot of people are choosing to transition now in one way or another. You know, younger people, just people you would expect. Is that something you've noticed, or am I just being more aware of it?
I've noticed it, but I don't know if it's because I know more people than I've ever known before or if it's because it's really happening. I've even talked to a couple of suicides that said, well, it was just my time to go. You know, so it wasn't like they were taking a shortcut. It really was time for them to leave. And I don't know what that means. I certainly don't understand suicide. And what I do understand about it is that each one's unique. And so we can't possibly come up with concepts that define all of it. But I have noticed that. It's like a lot of people are finished early these days. But maybe that's always been happening. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
But I've also met a couple people who seem to have completed their purpose, and now they're living on free will. They can do whatever they want. There's no more karma. There's no more anything they're supposed to do or have to do or learn or, you know, and that's a little confusing for them, too. But
I hear that.
Somehow they chose to be here. and they chose to be here in free will. So, my gosh, have fun. You know, just do whatever you want.
I like your advice.
That's right.
Well, we're winding down. We're winding down to that magic, you know, ending of our show. So, Cindy, is there anything you want to share with us and leave with our listeners? I know you shared a lot.
Well, gosh, this was so much fun. I really appreciate it, you guys. I just want to reiterate that everything you see in your environment right now is just particles, and it seems to be solid, but it isn't. We seem to be solid, but we're not. You know, science has even said, quantum science has even said, nobody actually touches another person. There are always particles between our skin. So when you're holding hands with someone, it feels like we're holding hands, but we're really not. And that's interesting, too. It's like everything's just particles. Think of it that way. Don't take things so seriously, especially if there's fear involved. Because also don't be attached to things because they're just particles. We really we shouldn't be attached to the way we think our body looks, because that could be changed in an instant, or at least over time, if we believed enough. But it's our perception of reality or illusion, and it is what we are choosing to label it that creates our experience. So what I keep hearing over and over again is, choose your labels carefully, because everything just is, and nothing's good or bad or right or wrong until we give it a label.
Awesome.
How's that?
That's awesome.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cindy Riggs.
Thank you so much.
The crowd goes wild.
Yes.
The crowd goes wild. Thank you. Thanks, guys, so much.
Sure.
I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for being on.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on with us.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Blessings
Bye.
And light and peace. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Powerful, powerful, man. That was awesome.
Very much so, you know. I like that she said that about, you know, we create our reality and everything's particles. I wonder sometimes, you know, those dreams you have of flying, and they seem so real and they seem so easy. But when you wake up, you feel like you're going to be able to do it, and you just can't. You know, what's holding us back is maybe it's the fear of falling. You know, maybe it's the idea that, oh, I've got this certain mass, and I could never rise up in the air and fly. You know, it's these ideas that create our reality. It's these limitations that we put on ourselves that make things impossible for us. So remove those labels, remove those ideas, those limiting thoughts, and you could be flying tomorrow. That's all it could take, you know, for some people to just let go and trust and become a part of what they already are. So there's my thought for
Absolutely.
The night.
And you know what's funny is sometimes we have to hear it over and over, and we have to hear it at a right frequency by maybe the right person or another version of yourself. And, you know, it just keeps getting better. And hopefully everybody got something out of this show tonight, even just a little nugget. And, you know, that's why we do this show. This is why we share our thoughts, and this is why we bring our friends on here to talk and share what's going on in their mind, because we're all part of this big, grand, cosmic adventure, you know, this big, huge spiritual orgasm that we're on. So, you know, let's make the best of it. Let's enjoy it and have fun with it. I think we've been to the point, I don't know if we get older, you just start to not give a crap, you know, just start letting go. And I'm not as uptight as I used to be. Let's put it that way. As a younger
that's
man,
a good thing. Yeah,
you know,
I know that is it is. But yeah, you know, there's enough fear, tension, drama, all that other stuff in the world. You know, that we shouldn't pass any of that along if we can help it. You know, as our own development grows. So, you know, just be open to yourself, and you know, don't be lift anyone else's expectations, but you know, open yourself up to what you're supposed to be, what you're here for, in whatever capacity that is. So again, that's now I'm going to be quiet and let you end the show.
Well, that's good. Tomorrow we have a lunchtime wisdom at noon with Mark and Iggy, and then we'll cruise down on Wednesday. I'm not sure who's coming on Wednesday, and I think Thursday Adriana and I will be doing a spontaneous spirit talk show before we head out west. And then we go down the hole with Mark the Rabbit Hole on Friday, and then we finish the week off with Mutto at midnight. He's sharing his thoughts. So, you know, we got a good lineup here. So, folks, if you want to hear more shows, just look us up here at withinsightsradio.com. David and I are both on Facebook, David Rutland, Iggy Garcia. And I have my own website as well, iggygarcia.com. So if you want to touch base with me or either one of us, that's the best way to get hold of us.
And so I've got a book for sale on Amazon.com.
There you go. He has a book on sale. Shameless plug. No, just joking. No,
hey, you got to put it in somewhere, you know?
You got to make a little like 15-second spot. I'll play it for you, promote your book.
Sure. Okay, I sure will. I sure will.
All right.
Love everyone, and peace.
We're out. So love everybody. See you soon. Ho'oponopono.
That's great. It starts with us.